Hello, I'm Robin Rothschild. Welcome to the Wallops and Assateague Islands Report. I've got a very special guest, Theodore Brown. Ted is the Installations and Environmental Public Affairs Officer for the U.S. Fleet Forces Command, the Navy, down there in Norfolk. Hey, Ted, how are you?
I'm doing well, Robin. It's great to be with you today.
Thank you for joining us from Norfolk, Virginia. How is it down there today?
Weather's gorgeous. It's going to be warm today, and we might have a thunderstorm, but right now it's pretty nice.
Well, sounds good. So, Ted, you know, we were talking about this project that the Navy has signed an agreement with NASA over at Wallops Island, and it's basically the Navy's going to be conducting regular scheduled E-2 Hawkeye and C-2 Greyhound field carrier landing practice operations at Wallops Island, correct?
That is correct. We've been actually looking for a non-DOD airfield for quite some time to address our field carrier landing practice training capacity shortfalls for quite some time now. We've got an existing field in Chesapeake, Virginia called Fentress Airfield, where we do the vast majority of our field carrier landing practice for aircraft based in the Hampton Roads area. But we do have a capacity shortfall there. We have to fly very late at night, and some of these E-2s and C-2s, we actually have to detach down to the Jacksonville, Florida area about 4 to 6 times a year just because we don't have room at Fentress.
Oh.
So we think we have reached a good solution with the folks at NASA at Wallops Flight Facility, and we're looking forward to conducting some of this training for these E-2s and C-2s there.
Ted, why don't you tell us a little bit about these planes that will be conducting these practices?
They're both carrier-based aircraft. The E-2C and the newer model E-2D Advanced Hawkeye, they're carrier airborne early warning and command and control aircraft. If you were to Google them, you would see they have the distinctive radar dome on the top. And the very closely related airframe is the C-2 Greyhound aircraft, and that's our carrier onboard logistics aircraft. It can carry up to 24 passengers or cargo or a combination of the two to and from the aircraft carrier. So both are very vital to aircraft carrier operations. And I think it's important for the folks that live up there to understand these are turboprop aircraft, twin-engine turboprop aircraft. They're much quieter than jet aircraft. But they have been operating both the E-2 and the C-2 occasionally up at Wallops, so folks should probably be fairly familiar with seeing them flying around from time to time. And we did also conduct a flight demonstration with these two aircraft back in December and announced that ahead of time to the public just so they would know what they look like and what they sound like.
You know, it's funny when you were just describing them and you mentioned that they have the dome on top of the planes. I knew immediately exactly which planes you're talking about.
Yes.
Living in the area. So
yeah, they're not unusual to see up there.
And they're not real loud at all.
No, they're not jet aircraft. Again, they're turboprop aircraft, and they're actually fairly quiet for planes of their size.
Now, you know, it's really cool. I'm reading the press release here. They will be up to 20,000 passes per year at Wallops Flight Facility. I mean, that first of all, that is great because these the pilots need the practice, obviously. You were mentioning earlier when we were speaking over the phone that, you know, this is a very difficult job that these pilots have.
Landing an aircraft on the flight deck of an aircraft carrier has been described by some as the most difficult feat in aviation. And when you think about it, our Nimitz-class aircraft carriers are 1,092 feet long. The flight deck is 252 feet wide. Now, that might seem like a pretty good-sized, and it is a good-sized ship, about 4 acres total on the flight deck. But the landing area is at the very back of the ship and is much smaller than that. You think about the ship moving through the water, and if the water is rough, even a ship that big could be moving up and down a little bit. All of the lights except for the carrier deck lighting are typically turned off when the aircraft carrier is operating. So on a moonless night, it's going to be virtually pitch black. You don't see the landing area until you get up to it. And again, the ship is moving through the water and it could be moving up and down. And you're landing with the tail hook down trying to catch one of 3 or 4 arresting gear wires. It is very, very challenging for our aviators to do. So what we need to do is have a place where they can practice ashore when it's much safer in a controlled environment before they go out to the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And FCLP, or field carrier landing practice, is this required flight training that immediately precedes and qualifies pilots for carrier landing operations. And it's always going to be conducted on a runway ashore that simulates an aircraft carrier flight deck. We do fly these in a left-hand closed-loop racetrack pattern. It's about 600 feet above ground level, and this training ends with a touch-and-go landing or low approach and wave-off. And always this pattern should simulate as closely as possible the conditions the pilots would encounter during actual aircraft carrier landing operations at sea. So we like to do it in a very dark environment. The FCLP practices are graded exercises, and they train pilots for landing on aircraft carriers. And again, an FCLP field will provide a pilot with the opportunity to simulate carrier landing operations in an environment where the risks associated with at sea carrier operations can be safely managed.
Now, when does Navy anticipate that the necessary construction will be completed for this?
The construction is ongoing right now. We're doing construction on either end of runway 10-28. What we're doing is actually the primary work is going to be actually painting the replica of the carrier landing area, putting in carrier deck lighting. We'll have concrete pads being poured so that we can have the improved Fresnel lens. If you saw the movie Top Gun, it's when they said call the ball. That's the ball. It's the visual landing assistant machine that enables the pilots to judge where they are in the pattern, whether they're too high, too low, too far left, too far right. And that will be installed as well as a workstation for the landing signal officers. Those are the folks who actually will be grading the exercises and also letting the pilots know where they are in the pattern. So all that construction is currently started, and by the end of August, we expect it to be complete, and hopefully we'll begin operating up there shortly thereafter with these graded field carrier landing practices.
Will the public be able to see this?
Actually, the public, if they can see operations from that runway now, they should be able to see the operations that are going to be going on. This is going to be a very standard pattern, as I mentioned. So
mm-hmm.
It's going to be the racetrack pattern at about 600 feet above ground level. So there will certainly be vantage points from off the installation where folks will be able to observe these.
Boy, that would be. I think that would be very cool to see.
Oh, absolutely! It's like an air show, and again, about half of these practice landings have to be done at dark, in darkness, because that is really a big challenge for these pilots. It's not that tough to do it during the daytime. On a dark, moonless night, it is very tough to do it. So we're going to be doing about half of these practice landings at night. Obviously, we will conduct the operations so that we conclude them as early in the evening as possible. But in the summertime, obviously, it gets dark a little bit later, so the operations will run a little bit later in the summertime. But these operations, the training is required for all of the Navy's new pilots, and these are winged naval aviators. They're qualified naval aviators, but they might be new to their squadron or new to this type of aircraft, and also more experienced pilots if they've been at a desk job for a while or just if they haven't had the opportunity to fly out to the carrier for a while, they have to come out and do refresher training. The users in the fleet replacement squadron, and that's the training squadron, they will be detaching up to Wallops for about 2 weeks at a time, 4 to 6 times a year, and then there will be other operations from the fleet pilots sporadically. But it's going to be times where it will be pretty busy, and then there will be times when there's not much activity at all. That's just the nature of the operations that we do when we train.
I was actually going to ask you about that, so that's good to know. Now, let me ask you a question, Ted. You mentioned that the carriers that these pilots are landing their planes on, you know, the sea could be rough, so it's moving around. Do you build anything into these practices that you know, maybe the lights are moving or something?
No, not at all. And basically what we're trying to accomplish by this type of training is it it will basically be giving these pilots an almost muscle memory, doing it the same way every single time. And now the LSOs, the landing signal officers, might do and will do occasional wave-offs where it will be simulated if something was on the deck that would preclude the pilots from actually completing their approach and actually landing with the tail hook catching the arresting gear wire. They might do what's called a wave-off. And they will practice those as well, where the pilot is doing everything right, coming in at just the right landing, and all of a sudden they will be told wave off, and then something's, they will apply full power, and then and just attain altitude again. And that's something that's part of the standard training syllabus.
And that would be something that they don't really know if that's going to happen or not.
Exactly. So, just like it would be in the real landing on the carrier.
I think this is very exciting. Just, one more incredible thing happening over at the Wallops Island Flight Facility. It's just amazing.
Well, we're really looking forward to it, and we're really appreciative of all the support that we've gotten from the community, from the local elected officials, from the folks at NASA. We think this is definitely a good deal for the Navy, obviously. It gives us another place to train, which we really needed. It's a good deal for NASA. The Navy's going to provide some funding to use this facility. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good deal for the community. There are certainly some local benefit that's going on right now from the about $1.7, $1.8 million construction. And of course, the folks that will be coming up there 4 to 6 times a year for their training detachments will provide some economic benefit to the local community as well. And
yes,
we think it's a good deal for the taxpayer because we'll be saving some money not having to send these squadrons down to Jacksonville 4 to 6 times a year to train.
Because most of these, they're right out of Norfolk?
The ships are based in Norfolk. They're based at Chambers Field, which is on Naval Station Norfolk. These planes, the E-2s and the C-2s.
Oh yeah, so we're right up the road.
Absolutely,
it's fantastic.
As the plane flies, it's about a 15-minute transit, I'm told.
Wow. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yep.
Hey, how many airmen would be coming in at one time?
When they detach up there, it's going to vary from time to time whether the entire squadron comes up there or whether just a segment of the squadron come up there. But again, 4 to 6 times a year, we're hoping that folks will come up there and detach. Some of them will probably stay at the facilities on Wallops, and some of them, if there's not room up there, may very well stay out in town.
So go into the local hotels and whatnot. Wow. This is really exciting. And I know, so we're talking about the landing strip that's right off of 175, the causeway that goes on to Chincoteague. I mean, I've seen planes land there, the type of planes with the big domes on top of them, land and take off there. So I'm really hoping that we'll be able to see this.
Well, again, I'm sure depending on which direction the aircraft are flying, and that is wind dependent.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we are outfitting both ends of runway 1028, and there certainly are vantage points around Wallops Flight Facility where you'll be able to observe that.
So you're looking at construction being completed sometime in August, and the first practices should happen soon after that.
Yeah, we're hoping to complete all the construction by the end of August, and hopefully sometime in early September we'll be able to start this training up at Wallops Flight Facility for our E-2 and C-2 pilots.
That's fantastic, Ted. I do also want to make a note to our listeners that there was a final environmental assessment and a finding of no significant impact, that if anybody wanted to look at these documents, there are a couple places right on the Eastern Shore that they can get them, one being the Chincoteague Island Library, which is right there on Main Street, Chincoteague, the Eastern Shore Public Library, which is on Front Street in Accomack, and then also the Wallops Flight Facility Visitor Center right on Route 175 across from Wallops Main Base. Just if they wanted to do a little, people just know that there is that information there. And Ted, thank you so much. This is very exciting.
Well, thank you for having me on, Robin. And again, we think this is a really good deal for the Navy and for NASA. We think it's going to be a good deal for the folks up there on the Eastern Shore and the taxpayers in general. And we're really looking forward to having the ability to train our aviators up at Wallops Flight Facility.
And we just want them to be safe.
Exactly.
Thanks, Ted, and you have a great day.
Thank you, Robin. You too.
That's Ted Brown, Installations and Environmental Public Affairs Officer for the U.S. Fleet Forces Command. I now have Keith Kohler, Public Relations Specialist for NASA at the Wallops Island Flight Facility, on the line. Hi, Keith.
Hi. How are you doing today?
I'm doing just fine. How are you?
Oh, just beautiful.
That's good. So, Keith, I was just on the line with Theodore Brown from the Navy, and you know, we were discussing the new E-2 Hawkeye and C-2 Greyhound field carrier landing practice operations that's going to be happening at the Wallops Flight Facility. And I have a question for you.
Sure.
How is the construction looking out there?
Well, they have started the construction. Matter of fact, we were just out there the other day taking a look at it. And so, I mean, they're starting to, you know, basically, you know, the thing is to make the runways that we now have look like carrier landing strips. So you have to put in the lights and the painting has to be done and all those types of things. So they have started on it. And so, you know, hopefully we'll, you know, have everything ready. I guess they're now looking at possibly flying in September or so.
Yeah, that's what Ted was saying. So, Keith, I did ask Ted this question, and I may have asked you this last week. Will the public be able to see these runways or the runway strips from Route 175?
Well, if you go up on the Visitor Center, we have an observation deck at the NASA Visitor Center, and so you'll be able to see not necessarily the markings on the runways, but, you know, you will be able to see, you know, the activity of the aircraft going on. You'll be able to see they'll have, just like a Navy landing strip, they'll have some little, I guess, I don't want to call it, it's like kind of like a shack, but they're small compartments that the folks on the carrier will work out of, and so those folks will also be there. So you'll be able to see those kinds of activities, but you won't necessarily be able to see the actual markings on the runway from there.
Now, Ted also mentioned that a lot of these practices will be conducted at night. Will the visitor center be open at any time for the public to view this?
We'll take a look at that, especially as, you know, as we get started, to give people an idea of what's going on. So, you know, it's one of the things that we've been talking to the Navy about is the possibility of doing, you know, some of those types of things, like having the Navy, you know, having the visitor center open, possibly have some of the Navy pilots there to answer questions that people may have about, you know, what it is they're doing, why they need to do that kind of thing, you know, what it's like to be a pilot, especially for, you know, for youngster students, you know, to be able to talk to those pilots who actually, you know, do the flying, who land on carriers and combat and those types of things. So, so we have been talking to them about the possibility of doing some of those types of activities.
Well, I tell you, Keith, if you do that, I would love to go to one of those. That'd
sure,
be pretty cool.
You're just a kid at heart. That's
absolutely. you know, one other thing I want to touch on with you is Ted also mentioned that the economic impact that this will have to our local area.
I mean, they'll be, you know, flying, you know, throughout different times throughout the year. And in some of the cases, depending on the type of exercise that they're doing, they have one group that comes in for 2 or 3 weeks at a time. And they'll be bringing with them, I think it's something like 100 people to support that activities. And so, you know, those folks will be spending money in the local area, you know, restaurants, and I suspect, you know, some will be staying in hotels and those types of things, and spending money at shops and those types of things. So, you know, we will be seeing some economic impact into the local area from these activities.
I didn't realize they'd be bringing that many people, support people with them. That's really something.
It really depends on, I mean, they've got two different programs that they do, projects, and so One of them doesn't really require that kind of labor intensity to support it, whereas the other one apparently does. So yeah, we look forward to them doing that and adding to, you know, the economic growth of the area.
And then finally, Keith, actually, Chris, our producer here at the radio station, had a question. He said, obviously, I'm assuming you do, but you coordinate these practices with the rocket launches, correct?
Oh, correct. Yeah. We can't be rocket necessarily launching at the same time or flying, other than to make sure that they don't, you know, get into the same airspace. And so you can do activities on the airfield and still be able to do a rocket launch. It's not necessarily an impact. So it's just as long as make sure everybody's aware of the other group, and you can do that. And then we also coordinate with these activities, because we also have, for example, the Global Hawks coming in this fall to do hurricane missions, and there are some other, you know, aircraft projects that we do throughout the year. And so, you know, it's just one of the things we do as a range is just, you know, the coordination to make sure, you know, that everybody can do, you know, what it is they need to get done to do their job, and trying to coordinate that as best we can to support all the different groups.
Well, Keith, you're doing a great job, I have to tell you. It's pretty exciting what you got going down there.
It's a busy time, especially, you know, once we get into the fall with between, you know, the Global Hawk Hurricane Program and the FCLP program and rocket launches going on, and, you know, all the projects that we have going on off of Wallops, such as balloons and those types of things. So, it's just, you know, extremely busy remainder of this year.
Well, that's there's no chance of you getting bored.
No, we won't.
Oh, well, thanks, Keith. I just wanted to kind of follow up with you and appreciate you taking the time out of your day.
No problem. Y'all have a good day.
You too. Speak to you soon.
Okay.
That concludes today's Wallops and Assateague Islands Report. I want to thank our guests, Theodore Brown, Installations and Environmental Public Affairs Officer, U.S. Fleet Forces Command Navy, and also Keith Kohler, Public Relations Specialist for NASA at the Wallops Island Flight Facility. Have a great day.